All right, open up your Bibles to John chapter 20, and we're going to get back on our study of faith, our intense study of faith. And right now we're going to cover faith versus feelings. This is something that gets people in trouble all the time. A formula for faith. I want to give you this. This is an absolute truth. A formula for faith is, number one, find a promise in God's word for whatever you are seeking. Remember, if there's something wrong, it's because there's something that has already been made right, already established in the word. Because the blessing came before the curse. So, Jesus made things right. So find a promise. Number two, believe God's word. Believe God's word over everything else. Do not consider contradictory circumstances. Remember, the Bible tells us we walk by faith, not by sight. And you're going to have to get your blindfolders on. And you're going to have to get narrow-minded. Narrow-minded. Not pointy-headed, narrow-minded. You have to get zeroed in on that one thing. That answer. And you're not going to look at anything else. You're not going to listen to anything else. You're not going to listen to anybody else. You're going to listen to the Word of God, and that's going to be your final answer. And here's the biggie. You're going to praise God for the answer. See, we go through a lot of effort to get the Word of God in our hearts, and then we go through a lot of effort to sow that word into the atmosphere, sow that seed into our situations. And then, is it time to just sit there and watch the plant grow? Well, you do, but you got to praise God for the answer. Amen? Now, this is where the sacrifice of praise usually comes in. You know, usually when you're in a position like this, there's usually something pretty serious going on, and you got to get keyed in on the answer, and you got to get that in your life a lot of times immediately. And you may feel terrible. Things around you may look terrible. The doctor may have given you a horrible report. The Bible says, lift up your hands, offer up the sacrifice of praise. Get your hands up in the air and praise God. Amen. The beloved man of faith, Smith Wigglesworth, once said, I can't understand God by my feelings. Now, that guy knew God. And if he said that he couldn't understand God by his feelings, then none of us are going to either. Amen? He can't understand the Lord Jesus Christ by his feelings. He said that I can only understand God the Father and Jesus Christ by what the Word says about them. You know, Peter talked to Jesus face to face, had his words directly spoken to him. Peter talked to angels face to face. And he said the written word is the more sure word of prophecy. How about that? He said the written word is the more sure word. God is everything the word says he is. We need to get acquainted with him through the word. Too many people try to get acquainted with God through their personal feelings. When they feel good, they think God has heard their prayers. If they don't feel particularly good, they think He has not heard them. Their faith is based on their feelings, whereas it should be based on God's Word. Here's one of the most dangerous things Christians fall into all the time. Man, the goosebumps. You should have felt the goosebumps. So what? I've felt goosebumps in bookstores. Walking down, walked past the Christian book part, and then all of a sudden the goosebumps hit, and I turn around and look, and it was Satanist and occult books. You know, the devil can cause goosebumps. Don't rely on your flesh. Rely on the Word. Be led by the Spirit. Amen. Okay, John chapter 20, verse 24. We talk about Thomas's faith. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, did you get that? Unless I see something, unless I feel something, I will not believe. People are in that category all over the place. If I don't feel it, I didn't get it. If I don't see the money in my hands, it ain't there. You're working on a worldly system, and Christians don't have any business operating in that system. Verse 26 says, After 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, Peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen me, and yet have believed. See, you're going to believe, and then you'll receive. The believing comes before the receiving. If you received it before, that wouldn't be called faith. Amen? But you're going to believe it before you receive it. Thomas was one who based his faith upon his feelings. Now, let's don't kick him around too hard, honestly. He was standing right there when he seen Jesus get scourged. He was standing right there when they put them nails through his hands and his feet. He seen him get lifted up on that cross. And he seen him get a spear thrust into his side. These guys hadn't had much practice on believing the resurrection yet. Amen. But know this, Thomas had done miracles. Did you know that? So he wasn't completely without faith. He had done miracles. He'd cast out devils. He was depending on what his physical senses told him. He said that he would not believe unless he could see with his own eyes the prints of the nails in Jesus' hands and touch the nail prints in his own hands. He relied on what he could see and touch, not on what God had to say. We've seen so many Thomas Christians today, those who believe only what they feel, believe only what they can see, hear, or touch. But real faith in God is based upon the Word of God. Real faith in the Word says, if God says it is true, it is. Believing God is believing His Word. Believing God is where the rubber is going to meet the road. If you truly believe God is going to supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus, you'll go to sleep at night. If you truly believe that by His stripes you were healed, you'll get up and do something. But there's times where you're going to have to be bold in your faith. There have been so many times I've seen Word of Faith people try to talk people out of faith. That drives me nuts. They'll try to stump them, try to get them mixed up on their confession. I wish they'd just shut up. If you can't get into agreement with somebody, then just get out of the way. You're not helping them, you're not helping yourself. Build people up in their faith. If you see somebody in a fight of faith, get in there and believe God with them and say, I'm on your side, man. What's your scripture you're standing on? If you got another one that fits into that situation, pump them up with that one too. They might not know it. Amen? If God's word says that He hears me, then I know He hears me because He says so, and His word cannot lie. His word, there's a saying that just runs through the church world, and it just drives me nuts. It says, sometimes God says yes to my prayers. Sometimes He says no to my prayers. And then sometimes He says maybe. And some people run around and say, thank God for unanswered prayers. Christians. No. The Word says, the promises of God in Christ are yes and amen. If it's yes and amen, then when you pray the Word of God back to the Father, what's the answer? Maybe? No, I don't want you to have healing today, Peter. I'm going to teach you to be humble in life. No. It's yes and amen. When you know the nature of God, it'll give you boldness and confidence in your prayers. If our faith is based upon feelings, then we're just using our natural human faith. We cannot get spiritual results with natural human faith. We have to use scriptural faith. Bible faith, believing in God's Word. If our faith is based upon the Word of God, then we believe the Word regardless of evidence that would satisfy our physical senses. No matter what, the Word of God always trumps the facts. It may be a natural fact that you don't have two cents to rub together. But you get to standing on that scripture and say, you know the grace of your Lord Jesus Christ, that though he is rich, yet for his sake he became, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might be made rich. Start standing on that. My God will supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And you don't look at anything else other than that, guess what's going to happen? Your pennies are going to multiply. Too often, old people want to go back and look. Bank account, it's still looking pretty skinny. I'm going to eat hot dogs one more day. People eat a lot of hot dogs because of that thinking. Go ahead and eat. God said he would supply your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Do you have to see it before you believe it? No? Then relax. Let's look at... Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Healing is a spiritual thing. Did you know that? People try to make it a physical thing. You know, doctors make it a physical thing. They're always attacking the symptoms. They're never getting to the root. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, well, you know, since we're talking about this, God's healing is a spiritual healing. If medical science heals, it heals through the physical. Christian science heals through the mind. But when God heals, he heals through the spirit. Here's something about the physical part. When you take a medicine, a lot of times you feel a response in your body. Sometimes people have mental issues, and instead of attacking the spiritual problem, they'll try to mess with the mind, and they'll get something to change their emotions. They feel that, but they never get to the root. They might knock off a couple leaves, but what happens when you cut a bush back? You just cut that bush back and you don't touch the roots. Well, pretty soon, that thing grows a whole bunch of different directions. Now they got more problems. Now they got to take two pills. And the two pills knock the bushes back a little bit. And then life rains on them some more. And the bush, whew, I'm still here. Now they got to take three pills. You see what happens? If you don't get the root, you're always going to bear the bad fruit. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's a pretty loaded scripture there. You're not dealing with the old you anymore. You know, when you got born again, you got brought into a whole new realm. You got made into a whole new being. You got a whole new way of doing things. So you got this revved up, hot rod body all of a sudden because of this motor inside of you. And it's just like on turbo charge and ready to roll. And you won't step on the gas pedal. People are standing on the brakes. sentence. I don't know about all this stuff. The doctor says the Mongolian warts are bad. And they said, oh, I don't take this and this and this and do that and that and that. I'm toast. Because it eats you from the toes up. My friend already told me. Really. You know what the Bible says? By his stripes you were healed. And Jesus, in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, the Bible tells us that Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law. Sickness is part of the curse. Jesus redeemed you from that. You know, it's wonderful to get healed. That's a cool thing. But it is possible to live in a perpetual state of health. You know, Joyce Meyer, one time, she's an awesome woman. I mean, she walks in God. And anyway, she went in just for a physical, just go in there and get a physical. And the doctor said, oh, there's a lump in your back, or a tumor. They took x-rays and said, yeah, there is a tumor in your back, but it's dead. So something had attacked her. She didn't even know it was there. But God had already squashed it. You can live in a perpetual state of health. You know, the new birth is the rebirth of the human spirit. Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. A person cannot tell just by looking at someone what has happened to him on the inside. But in the process of time, it will become obvious. Now, I've seen people get born again, and they just have a somber look on their face, and serious, and you just think, I know I've seen his lips move, and then this other dude over here shouting hallelujah and rolling on the floor and giggling and laughing, and you think, why isn't this guy doing that? And after about 6 months, that guy is out there. This guy is sitting in here with his Bible and just keeps going forward. You don't know. You don't know what happened in the spirit. You have no idea. That's between God and that fella. You know, we like to think we know a lot of stuff, but really, we're not all that. We're not all that cool. We have been mistaken many times when we've seen folks come to the altar and pray, cry, jump, hug everyone around, acting so happy, then they're never seen again. Now, that doesn't mean that they didn't get born again. See, when you get born again, your spirit gets born again. You're still attached to this fine-tuned thinking machine that got you in so much trouble before you got into that meeting where you got born again. And the Bible says that you have to have your mind renewed to the Word of God. Now, some people, by the grace of God, are fortunate enough to go ahead and get plugged in, get the Bible in their hand, read that thing, and just grow, and pretty soon their soul starts coming in line with the Word of God, and they're going along, and things are good. Some of us, on the other hand, are crazier than a pet coon, and it takes a little bit to get us where we get some word in us, get enough word in us to get gentle enough to go into church. But don't ever say somebody's not born again because you don't know. This is a real struggle for me sometimes. You know, preachers, I mean, I've done funerals with people that I've never even met. Never seen them. Ever. I did one right here one time. And they called me and said, "Hey, will you do our dad's funeral?" I said, "Well, sure." I said, did he go to church here? I said, "Yeah, a long time ago." I thought, really? Nobody knew this guy. He was a veteran. I said, "Well, okay, yeah, I'll do his funeral." So I had to go borrow the sheriff and a deputy to help me. And I was one of the pallbearers. A sheriff and a deputy that I got off the street. There's three of us that didn't even know this guy that were pallbearers for this guy. I asked them, I said, "Will you give me something so I can read it for his funeral?" So they said, "Yeah, we'll come up with something." So I went over to the house and I come back and I said, "You ready?" And he said, "Yeah." They gave me three sentences. I said, "Hey, guys, this guy has three kids and I don't know how many grandkids, and he was a Vietnam veteran. He has more to his life than three sentences. Get busy." So they went ahead and they made a good obituary so that I could read something. I didn't know if he was born again, but I ministered to the people, gave them a chance to get born again. We don't really know. We don't know. I mean, people, you know, I know you're born again, but there's people running around. I don't have any idea one way or another. Sometimes people get judgments cast on them, and if people actually knew how wonderful some of these people were, they would be shocked. Amen. Walking in the natural, we do have to go by our physical senses. For example, if we're crossing a street and our eyes tell us there are cars coming, we must wait until that car gets by. Don't be stupid. That seems like a pretty simple thing to say, but there's been some people that were going to, by God, do everything by faith, then we're going to pay attention to nothing else, and it cost them their life. They weren't going to listen to nobody else. If we are crossing a street and our eyes tell us cars come, stop. In many instances, we have to walk by natural faith. Faith in our sight, faith in our sense of smell, faith in our feelings. But what too many people try to do is believe God with that physical and natural sense. See, you still got to pay attention in the natural. God gave you a brain, use it. Amen? When you hear a rattlesnake, stop. Yeah, that was an interesting time in my life. Well, not anymore, but I kill them. But but you are to be led by your spirit. Amen? But don't get the two mixed up. Our physical senses have nothing to do with the Bible. God's word is true whether we feel that it is or whether circumstances appear that it is not. God's word is true. Psalms 119, verse 89 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." His word is established. As far as God is concerned, that's the way it is. We have to become convinced of it in our hearts, become fully persuaded. The way Abraham did. Abraham became fully persuaded that God was able to do what he said he was going to do. Amen? No one understands that God's word is established forever. Meditate on that word. Joshua 1 verse 8 says, "Meditate on my word day and night." There's no more better way to get a word in your heart than to hear it over and over and over and over again. You know, it's good to read through the Bible, read a lot of stuff. But when you got to have an answer for a certain thing, find the answer in the Bible and stay on that verse. Don't step away from that verse. Don't chase a rabbit over to this one and don't go chasing one over here. Stay on that verse until you get it in your heart. You know, one verse of Scripture will take you farther than five chapters memorized if you get that verse in your heart. And the way to get that in your heart is to meditate on it. Believe God. Believe you receive. Mark chapter 11, verse 22, 23 says, "Believe. Believe you receive." You're not going to receive until you believe you received it. You're not going to feel it. You're not going to see it. You're not going to taste it. You're not going to hear it. You're not going to smell it until you first believe it and then receive it. Your five natural senses are going to have to just take the bench sometimes. Now walk by faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. This is your spiritual blinders. You know, we put blinkers on racehorses to make them go straight. Christians need blinkers. Go straight. Peter had his blinkers on when he jumped out of the boat and he was walking towards Jesus. He was walking on the water. He didn't get in trouble until he started looking around. And then he started sinking. He started looking at his troubles. He started looking at his challenges, looking at the wind and the waves. And then he started sinking. But as long as he had his eyes focused on Jesus, he was walking on water. That's what we got to do. We got to fix our eyes on the answer and don't look at anything else. Don't listen to anything else. Don't believe anything else. I don't care what anybody else says. If it is not in line with the answer that God gave you, shed it. Sometimes Christians say some of the craziest things in the heat of the battle. It just drives me nuts. You just got to get focused in on the answer and go for it. Amen. Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for this beautiful rain that you sent us. And Father, the thunder. Father, we thank you that you're watching over us. You're going to keep the fires away. We thank you for a wet summer, a wet, bountiful, green, beautiful summer. In Jesus' name, amen.